The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It is a very busy afternoon. We have some breaking news that's just coming into us. Let's get right into that breaking news and our Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
One of the reasons the Seahawks did so poorly last season with a 7-10 record is their last several NFL drafts have been pretty bad. And one of the worst ever was in 2017 when the Seahawks drafted a guy out of Michigan State named Malik McDowell. Seahawks signed him for $7 million, $4.4 million guaranteed. And then shortly after he signed, he was riding an ATV and he suffered a severe head injury. Ended up never playing a game for the Seahawks. Then some other teams decided to take a chance on him, most recently the Cleveland Browns. And he started 15 games in Cleveland this last season. But now his NFL career could be on halt for a good long time because earlier this morning down Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Malik McDowell was stark naked, walked into a school, a children's learning center, it is called. Police were called, and when a deputy arrived, Malik McDowell, who is a very large man, 6'5", very muscular, having just come off the football season, and as I mentioned, completely naked. He charged the sheriff's deputy and pretty violently beat and assaulted the deputy. The deputy has a swollen face. Malik McDowell took several other officers to arrest and subdue him. They used tasers. They finally got him handcuffed. A prosecutor down in Florida explains what happened.
I spoke with Deputy Novello this morning. The bruising and swelling on his face has gotten worse since the incident. He's still having trouble walking as a result of this incident. There is surveillance video that Mr. McDowell actually went on to the property of the learning center while naked, Your Honor.
Latest in a long string for this guy. Remember, he signed for $7 million. He could have had a lifetime of comfort financially after the Seahawks drafted and signed him. 2017, he got a DUI. He had disorderly conduct. And I remember video of him beating down a convenience store clerk and officers who arrived. 2019, another DUI, resisting arrest, an assault. He was sentenced to half a year in jail. And now today, public exposure, assault of a police officer. But it wasn't his fault. His attorney says somebody slipped him a Mickey this morning.
Apparently, somebody may have slipped him something or given him something that he was unaware of, which explains some of this bizarre behavior. But we'll go ahead and investigate that in the future. But we have no objection to the bonds requested at this time.
He was all hepped up on goofballs that somebody slipped him, apparently. All right, so that's the breaking news. Just got that in. We'll keep you posted on that. With that as mere prelude, let's continue with more Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
I did tell you that as we go soft on crime, it would have tragic consequences. And we are seeing that, especially here in the Puget Sound area, but we're also seeing it all around the country as well. I got an email last night from a police officer in Kitsap County. And he said, at the PD, there's a whiteboard that had some pretty amazing stats. Last year in Kitsap County, there were a record number of cars stolen, 639. You know how many were stolen in the first 11 days of 2022 in Kitsap County? 74. In 11 days, nearly 7 per day, just for sleepy Kitsap County. And as the officer who wrote to me said, that puts Kitsap on a pace for 2,453 stolen cars this year. Another statistic on the board. Between December 15th and January 15th, 230 cars were stolen in Kitsap County. And what's the reason behind this? He writes, no high-speed pursuit means we cannot pull them over. So the criminals know they can and will get away. When victims ask what police can do after the car is stolen, the answer is usually nothing. It is insane, Dory. So what does this mean? How does this have such tragic consequences? Well, first of all, when your car is stolen, it's somewhere between a severe headache and a nightmare. For a lot of people, that means their livelihood, if they need their vehicle to get to their workplace. But there's much more at play here. As you just heard Aaron talking about in our newscast, they had a memorial service last night for that little 12-year-old girl who was the victim of a hit-and-run Saturday morning down in Pierce County. She and one of her friends had had a sleepover. They asked their grandma if they could go outside and play. They were walking well off on the side of the road, right near the ditch. It doesn't have sidewalks on this road, but they were well off on the shoulder near the ditch when all of a sudden a stolen truck somehow swerved onto the shoulder and struck the two girls, immediately killing one of the 12-year-olds, putting the other one in the hospital. It is an unimaginable loss to hear of this 12-year-old who was killed. And this is the consequence when we have Democrats in our state legislature who have essentially told car thieves, do what you want. We will not allow the police to catch you. Thank you, Roger Goodman and Jesse Johnson, the two Democrats who passed that bill last year. And now they say they want to fix it this year. I knew it was fatally flawed. I talked extensively on this show about what a nightmare that bill would be if it was passed a year ago. And they passed it anyway. And they imposed this nightmare. And they said Washington will become the best state in the country. We're already the best to be a heroin addict and a meth addict. And the Democrats in our legislature said, we want Washington to be the best state in the country for car thieves. And this is not Tuesday afternoon quarterbacking by me. I said all of these things a year ago before they passed that bill. They passed the bill. Cars are being stolen at a record rate. One of those stolen vehicles killed a 12-year-old girl on Saturday morning. Now those same legislators, Roger Goodman, Jesse Johnson, they say, well, we're going to try to fix that bill a year ago. Why did you vote for something? Why did you introduce something that was so fatally flawed, that was guaranteed to create such havoc in the lives of all the people whose vehicles are being stolen? In the lives of the family of that 12-year-old girl who's dead today. Why did you not have a decent bill before you introduced it, voted on it, passed it? Governor Inslee, why did you sign this bill? But when we say open season for car thieves, and then we're shocked when one of those car thieves kills a 12-year-old girl in a stolen vehicle? And this is happening all around the country. But with this 12-year-old girl, they had a memorial service last night. And John Golday told Q13 that this is the worst pain imaginable.
You know, my wife didn't even sleep at all, not even one wink last night. I mean, I just can't describe it. I don't think there's anything that worse that can happen to somebody than losing their daughter.
The father of the 12-year-old girl, and he says this was more than an accident.
It was a little more than just, oops, I accidentally hit somebody. This was somebody who veered into them and literally into the very large ditch, which my daughter's, you know, body was lying in, you know, for a couple hours.
12-year-old Immaculee was holding her friend's hand when she was struck and killed.
The two were very close friends, and they were probably holding hands, is what I understand, during this, because they just really were close friends. There was a lot of youth and innocence in them.
And he does want everybody to know a little bit about his daughter, Immaculee.
She just found joy in life, and that was just her.
And he also had a message for the driver of the stolen vehicle.
I want this person to know that a lot of people are actually praying for him as well. If he's going to do anything right in this at all, he can bring a little peace to us by turning himself in.
They do have what they believe are pictures from a convenience store security camera. He's wearing a mask. He's also wearing a reflective vest. But if somebody recognizes what they believe is the driver of this stolen vehicle, please contact the police down in Pierce County about this. Cairo 7 News talked with Immaculee's mom, Amber, about her daughter's death.
My baby is dead. Taken from me in an instant. And she needs peace, and we need peace.
We are the best state in the country for car thieves. And we have a record number now of car thefts, of vehicle thefts. And one of those stolen vehicles, at about 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, struck and killed a 12-year-old girl. And the question that I ask often, the Democrats who passed this bill, and it was passed strictly along party lines, do you feel any tinge of regret and remorse when you have chosen to prioritize criminals over 12-year-old girls walking with their friends on a Saturday morning? Because that is the very careful choice that you made. You're supposed to help protect us. We don't think you're perfect, but we should be able to believe that you're striving to do what's best for society. But you're trying to destroy society. You're trying to make this a society of and for criminals. And it is just absolutely a nightmare. The little girl's family hopes they can catch the driver of that stolen vehicle.
Just for him to turn himself in, or if somebody knows something, to turn them in.
But it's not just here. We're seeing this all around the country. In Los Angeles, the new district attorney who was funded, his campaign was funded by George Soros, who also wants to help destroy our society from within, George Gascon. And Gascon is a criminal-friendly DA. And what happens when you have criminal-friendly politicians everywhere? Well, in Los Angeles, a madman on the streets there walked into an upscale furniture store where a 24-year-old young woman was the only employee at the time, and he just randomly, violently stabbed her to death. And her dad is now talking about the violence that they are seeing, the absolute nightmare. His name is Todd Kupfer. His daughter, Brianna, was murdered by the homeless person in criminal-friendly Los Angeles. And he was on Fox and Friends this morning talking about what happened to his little girl.
We want her to be remembered as a person, a human being, and a caring, loving, and devoted family member, and a great friend, and just a rising star. She embodied so much that we all should be proud of in a young woman. And she had dreams and aspirations that unfortunately are going to be ended by this.
These poor people. And the host, Steve Ducey, he got very emotional talking to the dad.
It's the worst. And Todd, I know you wanted to come on to honor her memory.
Yes.
And I know you didn't want to be political, but you have blamed some politicians.
I'm not blaming anybody by name. I blame what's endemic in our society right now is that everybody seems to be oriented on giving back rights and bestowing favor on people that rob others of their rights.
Okay, that is the key right there. Everybody in politics these days seems to be focused on giving rights to those who rob us of our rights. And that's what's going on. It's going on with Democrats in the Washington State Legislature. We're the only state in the United States of America where cops cannot pursue a suspected car thief. So now we get record car thefts, and the drivers of those vehicles are out killing 12-year-old girls. And the dad went on from there.
We should be celebrating.
And I should be clear. This is the dad of the 24-year-old in L.A. who made the great point. And it's talking about down there what I'm talking about here. And this all traced back to prosecutors and politicians who have prioritized criminals.
Putting people and trying to recognize that that's the job they have, is to try to elevate that, to make communities better, to make people care more, to not tear down communities by exposing them to people that are falling out the bottom, that really don't care about the other human beings and just think they can do whatever they like in our society. And they are doing it more and more in every community. And we're just seeing a terrible outfall from it. It's just horrific. I don't know if it's the politicians themselves, but we don't elect them because we think they're great. We elect them because we think they can do great things. And it shouldn't be about them. They should want to be in that role because they want to serve a community.
But that's not what we have. We don't have politicians who want to serve the community. We have politicians who want to serve this radical agenda. And that's why they do things like make us the only state in the country where cops can't pursue car thieves. And then we're shocked when car thefts skyrocket. In Los Angeles, they turn the criminals loose because of a radical DA. In New York City, after 20 years of Rudy Giuliani and Michael Bloomberg saying we're not going to tolerate the level of crime that plagued New York City in the 70s and 80s, they cleaned it up. New York City was one of the safest large cities in the world. And then the Democrats took over, most recently de Blasio. And the criminals are back. And over the weekend, a 40-year-old woman named Michelle Goh, an incredibly accomplished young woman, got her MBA, was a senior manager at Deloitte. She was standing near a subway track when a crazed homeless man, whose family says they can't believe he was walking around free, he shouted, "I am God," and he shoved Michelle Goh in front of a subway train, killing her instantly. All of these cases, 12-year-old hit and run in Pierce County, 24-year-old woman stabbed to death in Los Angeles, 40-year-old woman in New York City shoved in front of a subway train. All of these deaths can be directly traced to politicians and prosecutors who have decided to give the criminals more rights than those of us who try to live our lives right. And now we're reaping what we have sown by putting people with a despicable agenda in charge of New York City, of Los Angeles, and of Washington State. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
From one sort of garbage to another, the garbage strike that at the Monson House, we haven't gotten anything picked up since before Christmas. We're bursting at the seams here. I'll talk to a local mayor about this live next here on the Dory Monson Show. I have so much trash, it's covering my rear end. We haven't had trash pickup at the Monson home since before Christmas. I got wrapping paper, I've got recycling, yard waste, garbage. My next door neighbor, they have a one-year-old. They've got a lot of stinky diapers. I mentioned that yesterday, and I immediately got a message from a listener who said, "You think having a one-year-old with dirty diapers is bad? I have two parents over the age of 80 who both wear diapers, and they haven't had trash pickup in 3 weeks. What is going on?" All because of a strike down in San Diego. The mayor of Kent is Dana Ralph, who joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Madam Mayor, always a pleasure.
Good afternoon. Good to talk to you.
All right. So now, did they resume pickups down in Kent?
They have. The Wildcatter sympathy strike that was happening here. So our workers were not on strike. They were honoring the picket line of that dispute in California. That settled. Mm-hmm. And we, Republic, at least in Kent, has went back to regular service pickup yesterday.
Okay, so in my little neck of the woods, north of you, I haven't heard anything because our pickup day is Friday. But
so here's you should see regular pickup on Friday.
Okay, here's the question that I have. So this happened a few years ago, a garbage strike, and they said, well, you still have to pay your full bill, even when we don't show up to pick up the garbage. Is that the case?
So right now we are in negotiations with Republic Services. The city has a liquidated damages clause in the contract, and what our ask is that they directly refund customers instead of the city seeking those damages because they're in because they haven't fulfilled the contract. So our goal is to get refunds directly into the customers' hands as a result of this of trash not being picked up.
Okay, and I have no idea if our little suburban city is doing the same thing. Why is that even a question? Why do you have to request it or negotiate that? In what other aspect of life does a company not do something and expect to be paid for it? It really boggles my mind.
Yeah, we don't think it's a question, and that's why we sent that letter to them a week ago saying this is what our requirements are. So I do believe our customers will see a refund, at least in the city of Kent.
Okay, and see a refund, meaning they'd have to send in their full bill and then hope that the company sends them back some money?
They're paid in advance, so more than likely, we haven't worked out the terms of it, but more than likely you would be in a form of a credit on the bill.
Another question that a bunch of people have been asking me is, why is this allowed? Because public employees cannot strike. We don't let police officers or firefighters strike. It's illegal for teachers to go on strike, even though they do it on a routine basis, but it's in violation of the law. When it's something like this, Mayor, that has an impact. I had a guy yesterday who he manages an apartment building, and he says their dumpster's been overflowing for 3 weeks now, and the rats are everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, we already got a pandemic. Now we have a garbage problem all around the region. We got rats that spread disease like nobody's business. Why are these contracts structured where going on strike, and in this case, a sympathy strike over a dispute in San Diego, why don't we treat these companies like other public employees?
I think it certainly begs the question. They, you know, we contract with them. It's no different than currently the cement union. Cement workers are on strike, and it impacts city or county or state jobs because that's who we're contracting with.
Yeah.
It certainly begs the question, and I think it's an important one. And the problem we have here, more so than any other time, it's no pun intended, but we had the perfect storm of things with the weather. Trash wasn't picked up starting after Christmas. And I will tell you, same at my house, I have not had trash pickup our trash day is Monday, but our recycle hasn't been. And so I understand completely. Combine the weeks of no pickup because of the snow, along with the 3 days that the strike, they were honoring that picket line, really has created a bigger problem than we've ever seen. And it will be part of our ongoing conversations with Republic Services.
Yeah,
Republic. We are also asking. Oh, go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You're also asking.
We are also asking them. They've held two pickup events at Esso Showwear Center during this, where people could bring their trash there, and we're asking them to do another couple of those events, and then unlimited amounts at the curb on your regular pickup day.
Okay. All right. They told us 2 weeks ago they weren't coming. They sent us a message. And then last week they didn't say that. So I dragged 7 cans up to the street, Madam Mayor. You know, yard waste, garbage, food waste.
I know.
And then I had to drag all seven back. I'm going to bill them for my time. Not only am I not going to pay them for not picking up my garbage, I'm going to bill them for my time in having to drag seven cans up there, too. You think I'll be successful with that?
You are not the first person to tell me that.
Jeez. Okay. It just seems like the deck is stacked against the consumers here. And personally, I would encourage, I'm not asking you to do this, but I would encourage people to just pay a prorated portion of their bill. And if you only got picked up once or twice in a month, just pay one fourth or one half of what you're supposed to pay that month and make them come after you. But I don't know how that'll turn out, but that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I will tell you, we will be, as soon as we figure out what the process looks like, we'll be pushing it out on all of our social media channels, newsletters, website, all of those kinds of things, doing our best as the city in the middle to be keeping our customers informed. And that's honestly one of the other conversations we're having with Republic is we want them to take a look at their customer service model, because what we did hear from people is things like the extra pickup day. That event started at 7 a.m., but the robocall didn't go out until 8. And it's the same problem you're talking about, knowing that they weren't coming to pick up until after you've taken your cans down. So That's all part of this negotiation we're in with them right now.
Mayor, you're a great communicator. You always make yourself available. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Thank you. You have a wonderful afternoon, and here's to all the trash being picked up by the end of the week.
There you got it. All right. And then I'll do my job to clean up the trash in local government. How about that? I never go on strike.
To you.
All right. I'll see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The mayor of Kent, Dana Ralph, joining us. Yeah, I'm going to send in a prorated portion and then see what happens. And if they stop picking up my trash, then the city's going to have to deal with that. Let's put it out in the street or something. I don't know what I'll do. Okay, love to hear your thoughts on all of this, of course, at 888-973-CHIRO. That's where you can text us. 888-973-5476. Coming up next, a little international news. Owner of the Golden State Warriors has grabbed headlines saying he does not care about the extermination of a group of people on this planet. It's pretty shocking. Play the audio next here on the Dory Monson Show. I have a controversial take on something. I know.
So what's new?
So one of the owners of the Golden State Warriors, his name is Chamath Palihapitiya. He was doing a podcast and he said something that shocked a lot of people. Now, let me say, the Summer Olympics coming up are in China. The athletes have already been warned that there is going to be an Orwellian amount of surveillance. That they should, you know, in their hotel rooms, or probably, they probably have cameras, they probably have bugs in the hotel rooms. And I think China is our greatest threat as a nation. I also know that China engages in horrific human rights abuses. I do not think the United States should participate in the China Olympics. It's that simple. But the owner of the Golden State Warriors takes it a little further. Now, the Chinese, they have essentially concentration camps for a group of people known as the Uyghurs. And the women in these camps are systemically raped. Women and girls are raped in these camps. It is horrible. It's another reason why I think China should not be supported as they have the Olympics coming up here. But one of the minority owners of the Golden State Warriors, this Palihapitiya guy, he was on a podcast and he said something that has been almost universally condemned. He said that he doesn't think about what they're doing over there in China much. Here's what he said.
I mean, his China policy, the fact that he came out with a statement on the Uyghurs, I thought was very strong. You know, it's one of the stronger things he did, but it's not coming up in the polls. And I think the whole Republicans.
Oh, yes.
I think this cut got messed up. I was trying to warn you.
Oh, that is the wrong cut.
Hold on. I'll have it for you in just a second.
And quickly, jump in really quick. It is pronounced Uyghurs, Dory.
What did I say? Did I say Uyghurs?
Yeah.
And I even went to a pronunciation guide this morning to make sure I wasn't screwing it up, and then I screwed it up. Okay, Nicole's getting the right audio in from the Warriors owner there. He said essentially he doesn't think about it. He doesn't care about it. It's below the line of what he cares about. An NBA player, Enes Kanter Freedom, who has, he's a recent U.S. citizen, and he went on with Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson called the Warriors owner just a despicable human being for what he said, and this NBA player seems to agree with that.
You know, his comments were so, I was like, I couldn't focus on the game because of his comments. I mean, you look at the Uyghur people. What's happened to the Uyghurs is one of the worst human rights abuses in the world today, and there is a genocide happening while we are talking right now. And him going out there and saying, I could care less, is a shame, and it is disgusting.
Okay, one of the worst human rights abuses in the world, that it is a genocide, and he says that because the NBA is just trying to make billions of dollars off of the emerging China market for their NBA product. They just don't want to offend the Chinese government, and so the owners won't speak out against what they're doing here.
You know, the funny thing is, this guy owns a company called, actually, I have it right here, called Social Capital, where they pretend to care about social values, and this is a virtue signal, and I have all those recordings here with me. He pretends to care about the others, but the only thing he cares about is money and promoting the CCP propaganda.
That's it. It's all about money for the NBA owners. Okay, but now let's play the original cut that got this guy in so much trouble. Because the one thing that I don't hate about this cut and about this guy is that he was telling the truth. That he doesn't care, and I don't think most people in America care, but they want, you know, Tucker Carlson condemned him as reprehensible. He was being honest. Here's what this guy said.
I mean, his China policy, the fact that he came out with a statement on the Uyghurs, I thought it was very strong. You know, it's one of the stronger things he did, but it's not coming up in the polls. And I think that whole Republicans interest in getting Hillary to run about, again is
nobody, let's be honest, nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really
what?
Care. And I think
what
that's
do you mean,
nice
nobody
that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just telling you a very hard.
Wait, you're saying you personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth. Okay, of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay, of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
Well, I think people, if you explain that.
So he says, I don't care. It's below my line of what I can care about. If he doesn't care, he doesn't care. He could have just said, "Oh, yes, I care deeply," and lied about it. Now. Do I deeply care? Is it something I think about every day? No. When I do think about it, I do believe the United States should boycott the China Olympics. And we should not be supporting a nation that's engaged in genocide of people. But do I think about that every single day? No. So my question is that guy a reprehensible person for saying he doesn't care, that he doesn't think about what happens over in China? Let me know what you think. 888-973-CHIRO. Best 15 next.